Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny. Johnny's topic today, things that are not seen. And I think this is kind of pivotal. And I'm surprised you came up with this topic because I do the YouTube, right? Like I show me out at the thrift stores. I show me at the storage unit. But you work a lot more than me. So there is a lot that doesn't get seen. And, you know, it's kind of hard to translate it to words. I guess I'll go first, right? So I had two pretty big bulk pickups recently. And the other night I had my little plug-in USB light because there's no light at the storage unit. It's 30 degrees. The wind's blowing. I don't make a YouTube video about this, right? Because I just want to work and get it done. But like, here I am. It wasn't even that late, but the sun was down, right? It was like 7 p.m. And I'm just sitting out here in the storage unit by myself, waiting for somebody to come snatch me up in the darkness of night. Nobody would know about it. You don't see that. You just see me out there when the sun's shining, things are great, scanning all the profit, not dealing with all the crap that I got. I don't know, man. It's tough for me because I can't show it all. And I think it's hard for me sometimes because I can't show that type of stuff because I got to get the job done, right? Like YouTube doesn't pay my bills. Like I have to get through the inventory. I have to get it cleared out. And unfortunately, I don't have a videographer where I can just work normally and someone records me. And it's just too much for me. So when I have things like this, I just have to get it done. And it doesn't, content's the last thing on my mind.
Right. And even, and for those not aware, on group calls, a lot of people are actually working, even though it doesn't look like they are. Like they're doing the technical work on the computer. So you're working. And when you're on a call, you're normally working at half speed or quarter speed because you're trying to listen, or if somebody asks you a question, you kind of have to stop what you're doing, respond to the question and all that. But that's the only way we could do it. And I agree, any kind of call or distraction or even recording a YouTube, you're not able to put all of your working effort into the actual work because, well, your brain's distracted because you're multitasking. Multitasking is great, but realize you're not going to be able to do it a full 100% on each individual task. There's going to be some percentages assigned to a secondary or thirdary task that you're doing. And even me, I had a one-on-one with a lady earlier this week, and I was teaching her how to source, and took her a minute to figure out what I was talking about when we were looking at things on Facebook Marketplace. And it was just little things like you see that stack of comics. Maybe you send them a message and see if they have graphic novels, which are books. We don't care about their comics. We care about the books, right? Ask if they got books. They're nerds. They probably got the graphic novels of the comic books too, or science fiction or fantasy, whatever nerddom they're into. They have books that more than likely goes beyond what's being shown, which is just comic books.
I got a hot take, and I might die on this hill, but it's fine. It's what I believe in right here, right now. If, what was that Jim Carrey movie where he was like videotaped 24/7, like around the clock?
Oh, Truman. Yeah.
If I could have that, Johnny, for like a week, maybe it was just live stream, like every single thing I did throughout the whole week, I guarantee you people that were brand new or people that were starting to scale would think twice about doing exactly what I do, because there is so much that I'm doing behind the scenes that doesn't get shown. Or right, even if you think about the person out there listening to this that maybe watches a lot of YouTube reselling, you always see the truck backing up unloading the stuff, right? You always see the hits. You never see the truck leaving with all the stuff you got to get rid of at the end of the day, and the long drives, right? Like I'm just sitting in the car listening to the Ramsey podcast, driving an hour and a half one way. That's not content. But I do think, like, if I had some camera that had an infinite battery life and I could record every minute of every day when it comes to what me and you do in the group. And I know, like, the group is, you know, you've had other, I guess, what would it be, electronic jobs in the past. So, like, but you're a coach in the group. We do the podcast every single week. You answer questions every single day. So this is something that people don't see, and nobody ever, they hear Johnny and they're just like, oh yeah, he's got a warehouse. He buys books, he sells books. Well, they don't hear the fact, like you just said, you sat down with somebody one-on-one and helped them with their business. Like nobody sees that, or nobody even thinks about that about you besides probably me and a few others, because we know you're out here doing it.
Absolutely. And I don't take credit for a lot of it. And, but also, I mean, like even pulling and packing orders, nobody sees what, when I do that. They may see you because you may do it for YouTube or Mel back to Burnout. She does pull and pack episodes, but you don't think about the other people around you. You just see them on a call or, yeah, that's exactly. And the only time you see them on a call and they're just sitting in a chair most of the time. Occasionally, you'll see somebody working because they got the phone set to the side and they're going back and forth because they need to do that. If they were sitting in the call, that'll throw off their whole day with their schedule. Because believe it or not, resellers are very busy people. They're go, 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 go. And they have to get things done or else, well, they don't. And then it's bedtime and then they have to get up and try to play catch up or makeup. And it's just a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of scenario. So you gotta, if you're going to be in groups, you do have to multitask, and the best way to do it is work on the call, but realize you're not going to be working to your fullest until the call is over, honestly. And that's okay. I mean, I also, when I'm not on a call, I listen to podcasts and stuff, and it's a little distracting, a little less so than an actual call, a live call, that is, where I may be called on to engage, but I'm still able to go through my day and also absorb some knowledge while I'm doing that. Would I absorb more knowledge if I just laser focused on the video? Probably. But my work wouldn't get done if that were the case, and that's sacrifice I'm willing to make. And the other way around, if I laser focus on the work, I don't learn as much. So it's a little give and take there. Other things that aren't seen are like how many of us have done custom jobs, modifications like tables or rearranged rooms to make things more efficient? No, that's boring stuff to watch. Nobody ever sees that. They need to be get done. Like I'm a big proponent of having everything on wheels. They don't come that way, by the way. You have to go to the hard store, get some screws and wheels and brackets and washers and nuts and bolts and experiment and figure it out. Your drill bit breaks, you have to go get another drill bit or installing, I don't know, if you've got a wall mount for your photo station. You gotta figure out how to do it, measure it. Is it crooked? Well, I gotta take it down and redo it. All of this. Nobody sees or talks about any of this because it's boring content, to be honest, but it's stuff we all do. It's the stuff not seen, but the stuff not seen is what gets the job done, honestly.
I mean, especially in eBay land, right? Like you do all this work and you sell the stuff, and like you post the items you sell, which 100% like, flaunt what you got. You put in all the work, right? Nobody sees you at 2 a.m. taking photos of your stinky
You're
t-shirts
so
and jeans.
tired. Your Red Bull ain't working anymore.
You're drooling, you're butt naked, listing stuff 2 a.m. in the morning. Like nobody sees that content, and that's how you get the end results. And when I see these people posting these crazy numbers, like how many items sold on eBay, and I think to myself, all right, that's like they sold 100 and how many items over the weekend at 6 or 8 photos per item. Like my mind just starts blowing up because I have that, like I see the next level to the data because I've been doing this long enough. I just don't see like, oh, 100 orders, great. I'm like, damn, that's probably 10,000 photos. Like, you poor soul.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I mean, even people able to do it in a minute, a photo set for a single item in under a minute, that's really good. But you're compounding that, like you said, to get 100 sales, you got to have a lot listed. The 10,000 photos ain't far off, maybe 15,000. I mean, it's insane. And if you're doing more than six, it just goes up in the amount of time it takes. That's another thing. All these little things we do, all the time we put into these little things do add up, but the benefit of improving our workflow, our work life experience, and or educating ourselves, that pays off in the hugest dividends throughout the course of the year. So we got to do these things in order to be better resellers.
I agree. And It's like I give a perfect example of it. I tell everybody, hey, go in and do some repricing manually. And it's like I spent two and a half hours doing that, and it took me 10 seconds to type that sentence. So like my show off was, hey, go do this, a 10 second one sentence line that says, hey, go do some manual repricing. But in reality, I just spent 2.5 hours of my life.
It took you 2.5 hours to realize, hey, this is useful. I should tell the group about this. They didn't spend the 2 hours to do that. You actually saved them 2 hours, but now they're probably going to be working blah blah blah. I mean, I'm doing a lot of manual repricing right now. It's mind-numbing stuff, but it's got to be done.
Maybe I should just turn my YouTube channel into all the boring stuff and the non like all the things that suck in reselling. Like instead of me like scanning stuff like bulk buys, all everybody gets is like me going to the donation bin and throwing my stuff into the donation bin, right? Like nobody ever knows if I even made any money. Well, I gotta go get rid of stuff today. I gotta go pay my storage unit bill. Like all this shit that just sucks about reselling.
Yeah, it's the work, right? It's the actual work. Showing off sales, that's not the actual work. In fact, you're stealing from your work time by taking the time to do that. But it's like that's just the end result of what all this bullshit we did ahead of time resulted in. Because it is bullshit. It's the suck, it's the grind, it's the horribleness, but we do it for this one little thing over here. And you notice, and if you're a reseller, you know what I'm talking about. Those little good sale things, and then once that becomes the norm, it's never good enough. And you're going on, and you repeat it, and you repeat it, and that's why when you see a seasoned reseller, they usually don't brag anymore, and they're just like, "Yeah, it was a good sales day. It was a good sales weekend." And that's only if they really ask, really, because they don't care anymore. When you're new, every sale is a magical experience. It's Disneyland, rainbows, and unicorns galore. But after a while, you get really jaded and really like, hey, whatever. I made 800 bucks, whatever. I made 1,000 bucks, whatever. Don't care. We've got to get on with the day, back to the grind. And you're just in this cycle of, yep, just doing the day to day. But we don't become so miserable that we stop doing. Well, some people do, but most people just keep on going on because they're seeing this growth line. That's what they get excited about. They less focus on the individual day or the weekend or the monthly, and they focus about the year. They're trying to make that yearly graph go up in comparison to last year's yearly graph that was here. They want to overlap and go up, right? That's what people are looking for these days, if you've been at it a minute.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
Perfect. I'll give another good example. I got plenty of these good examples because I actually been working a little bit harder lately. So I had a bulk DVD pickup and I couldn't fit any more banana boxes in the car, right? So now I got to play the game. Well, I'm just taking them and throwing them in the back seat and everything, right? Like the front seat, the back seat, pile, anywhere I can fit a DVD, I'm fitting a DVD. And I take photos and Deb's like, what are you going to do? Text all your friends and show off? I'm like, I gotta enjoy some part of this because on the back end, I literally every DVD I threw in, I have to take back out every individual one to get them. So I need like my 5 second enjoyment of being like, hey, Johnny, look at this. And Johnny's like, you can fit more in there. And then this is like,
No, I said that to you. Like, you still got room.
it's the truth though, right? Like we have to relish on these little things because you can get miserable real quick in this, and it's not even like gloating. It's just funny to be like, hey, my car is literally stacked to the ceiling with DVDs. But you gotta see that as, okay, yeah, this is cool, right? It's cool to have a car full of DVDs, but you better believe that day, the next day, I got through almost everything, and now I just have a little bit more to get rid of because, yeah, it's fun. But like Johnny said, you need growth. Your bank account needs to be growing. If you're working more and you're not making more, then that's what people don't see too. The bank accounts, Johnny. Maybe we need to have like a little like a box with like you know, the stock market goes up and down, and we can just have like our active bank account over the last 3 years on every YouTuber's video. I think that would be great.
No, what I would love more than that is, you know, those like thermometer bars that you color in over a period of time. That's what we need for the year. When it gets full, you did a good job. You did the thing for the year. Good job. And then you need an extra sheet of paper because it was more than you expected that you use little masking scotch tape on.
Yeah, it's like every day I go to the storage unit and I see if I grew some or I shrunk some, a good pencil above my head. It's tough, man, because there is so much people don't see, and I do think it does attribute to a lot of people that start kind of quitting before they get a real sense of what the business could be, because all of a sudden they're expecting to see, you know, 3,000 DVD pickup and you're making all this money, but they don't see, hey, well, what am I going to do with the 2,700 DVDs that are not worth it to me? And I hate to tell you, like, they got to go somewhere. You just let them
Oh,
sit
and
around.
speaking of that, let's DVDs. That's a special, special place because you know what? You got to clean some of those. You got to buff some out. You got to throw them in the JFJ or whatever disc cleaning machine. Nobody wants to see anybody clean discs because if they knew, if they knew how bad that is and how mind-numbing that is, it's horrible. Now, that's not to mean we don't pop on some music and we're kind of swaying side to side as we're staring at the JFJ every 20 seconds and cycling out the disc, putting in the case, wiping the disc off, and then putting in the good to go pile. Nobody sees any of that because, again, that's very boring. But we've all been, well, if you're in disc media, you've been there. You know exactly what I'm saying. You put on the tunes and you grind it out for an hour or two, and then you grab your pile, and then it's back to normal.
Maybe I'll record just me carrying my boxes from the third floor down to the car, and it
Oh.
will be like an hour-long video of like a month of me just carrying my stuff up the steps just to put it in a cardboard box to carry it back down. All it is just my hallway, my steps. That's all the video is.
And even like shipping, I mean, that's that can be boring at times. Even Amazon shipping can be boring at times. So you're packing your box. You're a pre-packer to see how many you can cram in, and then okay, I had to put some out because for whatever reason, the ranking went down, or now it's an e-score zero, or it misscanned, or you changed your mind on it, or you're restricted. Okay, let me repack the box and pull it out of the box. Now let's list it and let's put it back in the box and sticker it and then put it over there and then do it again. Do three boxes. And then you're like, okay, well, there you go. There's 3 hours of really boring stuff.
It's not
Really
fun,
boring.
dude, but we enjoy it because why do we enjoy it? Because our bank accounts go up and
No.
we have processes in place to make it, I guess, more enjoyable, not as miserable. It's hard though, because if you're the person that is out there grinding, you don't have the processes, your bank account isn't going up quite yet. You gotta self-check yourself quite a few times throughout the days just to keep being like, all right, this is something I want to do. And I've been there. I've been broke, and you know, I've been trying to grow a reselling business. All I can say is give it an actual chance and give yourself a chance by getting around like-minded people and basically just being a fly on the wall and consuming information that can and will help your business, because you get in the dumps real quick because bank accounts are hard to get up and resell. It sounds glorious going to buy an item for 10 and sell it for 100. But those are just one-offs, right? The most of my sales are between $15 and $22. Like, that's not exciting. If I did a what sold video, Johnny, and nothing was over $20, like, who cares?
This is going to sound really masochist of me, but what I really love in a group, and I know other people are the same way, is when you see a new reseller, they're doing something miserable and they're talking about it, and you know there's a better way. And then you see all the old timers, they kind of get a smile on their face, like, I've been there. That was me. Let me help you out here. Because we're smiling at our own misery. We're not smiling at the person that's having a bad time. We're smiling because, yeah, I was in the suck one time too. Now, you're just laughing at yourself at that point, but you're going to help the individual out and try to help them. But we all have to go through these trials and tribulations of the suck, the grind, the horribleness of reselling. Because if you're not constantly thinking about how to make the suck less suck, you're doing a disservice to your business, honestly. Because we always have to, like, okay, This is, I hate this. I hate this so much. How could I make this slightly better? Because that's it. It's like being in a desert and it's 150 degrees. You're just looking for a shade tree. How can I get shade for just a minute before I go on another 2 miles? And then you're just going from shade tree to shade tree kind of deal. Until all of a sudden you're just walking in the shade. This ain't so bad all of a sudden. This is pretty good.
Yeah, it's hard when you really, but I always think of it this way. When I was trying to get out of my job, like I would have did anything to get out of it, right? Like I was willing to do whatever it took to get out of the reselling business. So like, do we just assume that if we create the content around things that aren't seen, the non-fancy, the non-bolos, the non, extravagant videos, do we just assume that nobody would watch the content? Or maybe that is a super niche where if one of these reselling channels just started showing the stuff nobody else does, then maybe they get traction on the channel. And wouldn't it benefit us? Because most people are going to run away because they see me throwing thousands of DVDs into my car and then unloading them just to throw them back into the car to go get rid of them somewhere else. Like, that would just mean less competition because less people would do it. But I don't know, man. It's a hard balancing act.
This has kind of been done. It's usually done in groups. They'll record themselves doing a process, then they'll upload it to everybody to critique that, like, this is how I do photos. And then everybody chimes in. No, this is how you should do it. No, this is how I should do it. No, this is how you should do it. That other guy's way wrong. And you get a whole lot of feedback, and that person can take what they want, try a couple things, and find out what works for them. And then they'll do it for another process, like listing. They'll just screen record. This is how I'm listing this type of thing. And the same thing happens. Everybody critiques it. In that aspect, I think it's really good for resellers to engage like that. As for the general consumerism of YouTube and content, no, it'd be boring as hell. Nobody would like it outside of people that are actually in reselling.
I mean, I guess you could have like a super clickbait title, like "How I Make $1.50 an Hour Reselling," right? Like that definitely would work. And on the topic of that, we haven't talked about it in a while, but like profit per hour, right? Like, of course you're not going to continue to resell if everything you do is such a grind, right? And you're making no money. It's different, right? If you told me or Johnny, hey, you got to go work hard for the next 12 hours, but you're going to make $50 an hour. We're like, hey, I'm ready to go work, right? But
Yeah, let me put on the Rambo red bandana and let's do this thing. Yeah,
the
let's do it.
opposite side, Johnny, and the reality of most resellers is, hey, you got to go do this hard work for 12 hours and you're going to make $1.50 an hour. Well, no shit, these people go away and quit because you're not making no money.
Yeah, early on, you're lucky to be making minimum wage because you're learning, you're making mistakes, you're doing bad buys, bad pickups. Or you get so many returns because your processes aren't down, or you didn't know to notate flaws and your photos are bad, nothing's selling. So you may be making negative dollars actually, or very low minimum wage to minimum wage dollars. And it's very hard to power through that process because in the outside reselling world, you do an hour of work, you're going to get noted for an hour of work and get paid accordingly for that hour. Reselling, it's not that way because you have to earn your way to that by learning and doing, honestly. And we learn by doing most of the time.
I like to think of it this way too. It's kind of impossible to see content from resellers that are brand new, right? Like you're always pushed out the biggest resellers on social media and YouTube realm. So you don't see the person that's literally day one in their business, like from the very start. So you can see all the trials and tribulations they go through to kind of get to the point where maybe they have a successful business. And I kind of wish, I don't kind of wish, I wish I had all of those stupid mistakes, me taking 4 hours to do my first box on video, because we can talk about it, right? We're talking about all these things that you don't see, but the words, they're nowhere near as impactful as what you experience, right? Like 4 hours to do a box. Somebody hears that and like, oh yeah, wow, 4 hours to do a box. But you better believe when I was sitting there for 4 hours, I was like, this is, dude, I'm done with this, right? I'm ready to call it quits. Deb's like, you're not making it. The cats are like, Dad, you're not making it, dude. You need to get back to work. You need to go back to CVS.
No, it's interesting. Like, On YouTube, there's these things out there where somebody builds an entire cabin in the woods, right? And it's sped up like drastically. Or somebody builds their house. I would love to see something on a business like that, but how do you do that? I don't know how you would film that at all, but you're seeing it from there's the empty plot of land. There's this poor sap dragging all this wood off his truck, and it's just him. And he has to go the other side to put it on the horse and then do the other side. He's doing it all himself, but it's super sped up. So it's a even a lengthy video sped up. It's like an hour long. And then you see this beautiful end result. Their blood, sweat, and tears are probably a year's worth of footage, honestly.
Yep.
And it's amazing. And I'd love to see that in the resale. But again, I don't know how that would be done. You would need like 24/7 cameras in every corner of the room, and it's going like lightning fast. Like you're just seeing a box after box after box, or package after package if it's eBay. And then eventually, oh, here's my bank account. Worth it.
Yeah, that you got to have the payoff at the end, or it's not worth it. And there's going to be plenty of suck, and I hate to break it to you, a lot of the suck no one can relate to because we've experienced, but we've experienced it in the past. So it's like when you tell me, kind of like what Johnny said, you tell me, hey, you were at the storage unit last night unloading your car full of books, and you were there for 3 hours and you didn't find much. Me and Johnny just smirk and say, yeah, been there before.
I'm
Welcome to
there.
the club, right? Like welcome to the party. And you're never going to have the justification. And it's a good thing and a bad thing because you can't always be looking for somebody else to justify the crap in the business or the good in the business. It's easier for me because I have a YouTube channel. We have the group. So, like, I can just put my stuff out there and people be like, oh my God, great job, Mike. Oh my God, you're crazy for doing that, Mike. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing when you're always trying to look for a pick me up because at the end of the day, the stuff's got to get done, dude. We got to get to work. We got to have things selling. We got to put in the time. We got to put in the effort. I'm tired of it being spun as reselling's easy. Start open your eBay Amazon account today and start making money, next week. That is not the case. We have to get real with this business.
Yeah, and then like when I recently moved in the garage here, I was moving things around, and first was like foot traffic. I got to be able to walk free and clear. And then first day came my orders in the new garage set up, and I noticed I was doing something really, really bad. I was walking all over the place trying to get things. I'm like, no, Johnny, you put things on wheels for a reason. And then I moved everything around me so I didn't have to move. I'm like, there we go. This is normal. This feels comfortable. But I've forgotten for a quick minute because I've been over there for years, and it's new setup, right? And then new processes come with a new place, and but it's similar, right? But it's just a different environment. So that was an interesting thing. But I caught myself, I'm like, you're being dumb right now. You're being big kind of dumb. How many times have you told people to do the same thing? You're not doing it yourself right now. But it was just a temporary hypocriticism. But no, it's simple things like that. But if you're not in the know, if nobody ever told you, or you never asked the question, like, I'm walking around a whole, well, dummy, move the shit near you and make your life easier where you don't move and your packaging life will be easier.
I'll say this. I think a lot of people, if to see the things unseen, if we said every reseller has to record their life 24/7 and upload it to the internet, I think a lot of people, Johnny, would be a lot more efficient. But I will argue my case that when I have to whip out the GoPro, I am 100% less efficient because it slows me down. And I have no problem with that, right? I choose to do this. I choose to help people. I'm not sitting here saying, oh man, YouTube's ruining my life. Not at all. But I think most people, if all of a sudden I'm in your house recording you, you're not going to be wasting time. You're not going to be scrolling through Facebook or, Instagram. You're going to be like, whoa, I'm getting recorded. So, like, I better be as fast as I possibly can be and as efficient. And I'm here to tell you, some of us work the opposite way. This thing slows me down. That's why I don't put out a video every single day because this slows me down. But most of you, I get a camera in your face and say, hey, we're recording a video. Best behavior, dude. All right, let's go. I'm going to be the fastest, most efficient reseller I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, that only works for so long because everybody likes putting their best foot forward, but then they become complacent, and then you see the real them, and then oh, okay, you're just a normal person. You're not some superstar person.
Yeah, you can't hide forever, dude. Sooner or later, it comes out. And that's why you see a lot of these content creators kind of go away because sooner or later, your real personality is going to come through, right? Like I can be cheesy and like have a super fake, you know, oh, the way I talk about business. Eventually, it's not going to, people see through it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, what other things are not seen? I mean, cleanup, taking out the trash. There's a lot of waste in media, whether
Bookkeeping, dude.
bookkeeping, deconstructing boxes if you got boxes left over, right? And then figuring out what to do with those things. Or if you're a gaylord person, you try to sell them or this, that, and the other. But taking those things apart and try to dispose of is always a pain. Always.
Thrift stores, you go in and find nothing. Never see that. No, you resellers ever created a video saying, I went into Goodwill and I left with no items. That, and I'm here to tell you it that happens nowadays. I mean, it might not be zero, but some Goodwills it's zero for me, and that's just part of it. And it's not exciting to record it. And most people, if they did record it, right? So here's how it works: I pull up to the Goodwill, I got my camera, I'm gonna record a video at this Goodwill, Johnny. Record myself, intro, record myself walking in. I find zero items. This video is not getting uploaded, dude, right? Nobody in their right mind is going to upload a video where they found nothing, right? So there's so much that's unseen. And we're not saying this as a deterrent. We're not saying this to be like whiny guys saying, oh man, all this stuff sucks behind.
Oh,
If it
enough.
sucked, I wouldn't do this. I tell everybody, if this was any harder than it has to be, then like I would just go find a job. I don't know how some of these people are out here grinding, reselling, making $7 to $12 an hour. Like we should be absolutely make, and I don't make a lot of money, but I'm smart with it, so I can put the majority of the little bit of money I make away and invest in my future. You don't have to make a bajillion dollars to get ahead in life anymore. I think that's such a misconception. Like, I got to be making all this money. No, if you're smart with your money and you're strategic, you don't need to be making 250K a year reselling to actually get ahead in life and have a future when it comes to your finances.
I'm going to preface this with there's nothing wrong with hope. But I believe a lot of resellers hope their way into success. They believe hard enough. If they clap their hands, Tinkerbell style, and they work really, really hard, it's going to work. But if you're doing all of that and it's not working and you're still grasping at this initial hope, you are wrong. You need to figure out turning hope into fact. And the facts come from you analyzing your business, knowing your numbers, knowing your processes, knowing your sources. I mean, sometimes it's just a simple shift of you're just sourcing junk. Stop it. Source better things. That's easier said than done. The things not seen when we make those statements are, okay, how do I source better things? Let me jump on Facebook Marketplace and scroll for 4 hours until I find that one deal, one that's going to fundamentally change my business. But you need to do the 4 hours of scrolling to find that little gem in the well of crap that is Facebook Marketplace, honestly. Or let me send out some emails, some flyers. Let me go door to door knocking and seeing about collections, or go making contacts to the libraries, or all these boots on the ground or fingers on the keyboard actions that take an extraordinary amount of long hours to accomplish. But the end result is success. That's what we're talking about. And I'm going to end it with it's okay to have hope, but be willing to do the work to make hope into fact.
I mean, I've tried finding the end of the rainbow. It just keeps going and then I never find it. You gotta, what Johnny's saying is 100% correct. A lot of resellers, hope doesn't pay the bills, right?
Nope.
Like, I look for a four leaf clover every day when I'm in a patch of grass. Yeah, I have no luck finding any. I'd rather just be like, well, forget the four leaf clover. I'll go somewhere else and do some other thing. You have to be willing to do what you don't see when the time comes. You have to be willing to deal with the bulk, deal with the headaches, deal with the relationships, deal with the long hours. I wasn't always the person that, you know, was doing this 20, 25 hours a week. I used to be like Johnny, and instead of having the warehouse, I was going to thrift stores 4 or 5 days a week, and I was straight up miserable, dude. That's no life to lead, to be in these stores all this time. The only way it starts to kind of feel like it's a life to lead is when the green is coming in. All of a sudden, when Mr. Krabs takes over my body, and I'm like, hey, I'm willing to, I'll go thrifting 5 days a week if I, if it's going to up my bank account to $1 million, right? Like you have to trade things off that make sense and hope it's okay to have it. But when things don't work, I'll be straight up. I've told more people this past year than I ever have. Well, here's 3 month time frame. If you don't get results, then I think you 100% need to move on to a different endeavor. I don't think that's bad to say. I just think it's a reality check. And I thought I never would be the person to be like, hey, like this just isn't for you. But I
You
do
believe in
think,
everybody, Mike. It's really hard for you,
I
yeah.
know it is. Like, and I've told, you know, a handful of people this year, like, hey, like, because I do a lot of one-on-one coaching behind the scenes, and I'm just like, give me 3 months, give yourself 3 months. If this doesn't work, then you know, there's always something else you can get involved in. As entrepreneurs, like there's a whole world of life outside of reselling. It doesn't have to just be reselling. And the actuality is for some people, for the majority of people, even people listening to this, it's just not the business for you. And that's A-okay, you know, like go. There's people out there scooping poop off lawns making 100K a year.
Right. And I've seen it happen a little bit more this year than any other year. I think it's because of post-COVID times hitting up with people hard. People are having to get part-time jobs and then do their full-time eBay, or they're putting eBay back to part-time and they're having to get a full-time job. I don't think there's any shame in that. I don't think they should condemn themselves or think of themselves as a failure. They just realize it is a very long game to make it successful, and they couldn't beat the clock. Nothing wrong with that. So do what you need to do so you can get back at it again. More power to you. You're not giving up in that stage. You're taking a factual stance of, I need more money to live my life. Reselling isn't hacking it for me, so I'm going to have to get a part-time job. It's either that or you pretty much scrap what you're doing in reselling right now and figure out a new thing in reselling to do. Shift. Stop selling what you're selling. You're doing it a bad job for yourself and your business and your family, and you need to figure out what works. If you're not willing to have that coming to self talk, I don't know what to do with you. I'm sorry.
I think I'm gonna wrap this call up here because this is a super hot take. Talking about things you don't see. One of my biggest pet peeves, Johnny, like you really want to piss off the used book guy, right? Like it's people that have these channels, the social media platforms, and they're consistently uploading content, and then all of a sudden you never see or hear from them again, right? It's because we can't have the realization, and we can timestamp this, we can revisit this. The day I decide to stop reselling and move on to something else, I 1000% promise there will be a video explaining exactly why I quit reselling or moved on to greener pastures. And yeah, it happens, right? Like I think like one recently was James Bold Finds. We had him on, and he now he's back to put more content back out on YouTube, but he made a whole video saying, hey, like I can't continue doing YouTube in this manner while maintaining and growing my business where I need it to be. But that's like an outlier of the case, dude. Everybody else, they just disappeared. The last video was them at the Goodwill making $1 trillion, and then you never see or hear from them. That's like, dude, that just grinds my gears. I'm just like, you can't just
What
be
happened? What
just
happened?
straight up just come out and be like, hey, I don't have time to do YouTube. I might come back in a little bit, or hey, I'm going part-time. I'm perfectly fine with that because that just shows your character, right? Like that shows, okay, you spent the time to grow an audience and create content. So you just don't leave people hanging. It's just a bad look, in my opinion. Like I won't be around somebody that's just like up and disappears without at least throwing me a bone and being like, hey, I got things going on. Everybody's got stuff going on, okay? And it takes you 2 seconds to sit down in front of a camera, record a 5-minute video with no edits, and be like, hey, here's exactly what I got going on. So you might not see me for a while.
You know who I was really proud of this year? Remember the interview we did with the Barbie girl?
Yeah, she's part-time hustling now, and I
Yeah.
guarantee you she's a lot more efficient. She's probably getting crazy good numbers. I know for a fact Sabrina's crushing it.
Sabrina, I think, put out the best video, the most honest, authentic video of, hey, I gave it the good college try. It's not meeting my means at the moment. I'm gonna have to do what I have to do. and she was broken up about it. She felt a little bit defeated, but at the end, it was the sigh of relief. This was the right decision.
Hell yeah, dude. She lives out in expensive land. Can't afford nothing out there. I'm right
Yeah.
there with her. You move me, we swap places. The situation probably changes 100%. I literally go into her mindset of this ain't gonna be enough for me. And all of a sudden she's here in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. She's like, we cooking now, like forget this. There's so much that goes into it, right? And that's something you don't see. Like, what are people's situations? We have commitments, we have some of us take care of kids, people with special needs, where we live, disasters. There is so much that you don't see in the reselling world. And we're not talking about it to kind of just have you be like, oh, well, that sucks, or oh, feel bad for this person. There's just a lot more that doesn't get shown to you as a new reseller or as a growing reseller. And understand that there's going to be hurdles in this business. You always have to be learning. You always have to be putting in extra time, consuming content that makes sense for you. Johnny talked about it. When he's on these calls, I'll tell you right now, he's always busy doing something. We have our call later this morning, and he'll be on there listing, repricing, things like that. That's the trade-off, right? If you're going to be on these calls, be involved in these groups, you can't just shut everything down, right? Unless you're making some type of decent money from it, then hey, okay, sure you can shut it down. But you gotta get shit done in this business. The only way you get paid, it's the only reason we do this, is to get paid. And there's a lot of suck you don't see. And it sucks, but the money's good, so I can't complain about the suck. It could be a lot worse.
Right, no. In TechSphere, there's a call that does not apply to me that I've attended a few times just out of fascination. There's a parenting call, resellers with kids, and how that work-life balance works. Exactly. I salute you, mom and dads out there, because I hear about all the things they have to do, same shit I gotta do, but they gotta have kids involved, constantly coming in, constantly disrupting. My brain would explode. And they talk about, just like in reselling, how do you troubleshoot the problem when this kind of situation happens? They do all that, but it's just fascinating to me. How do you do this reselling, which is a shit ton of work with children? That's a tall order and secondary salute.
It is that life. I mean, those people, those parents, you want to talk about grinding, right? Like, holy smokes, it is tough. And you can't give enough credit to these people when it comes to trying to grow a business while having some of these other obligations, or working that full-time job 60 hours just to meet your bills, but you also want to try to have a business on the side. It's possible. We're telling you that it's possible. Just realize it's not all sunshines, rainbows, four-leaf clovers, unicorns. Sure, you might get to the end of the road one day and everything is great. You feel great. The money's coming in, but there's going to be a lot of hurdles and steps to get there. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. We will see you all next week, as always. And those of us that we don't see because you're listening on podcast platforms, we appreciate you all just as much. And Johnny would appreciate it if you just leave us a little 5-star review saying, hey, we appreciate the content YouTube put out. But yeah, we'll talk to y'all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.